We've been in the book of Philippians now for 10 weeks, and our theme verse has been Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, where it says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." In the NIV translation, it's put this way: have the same mindset, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. Attitude has to do with a mindset. It has to do with this internal perspective we have, this way we think about life and process life, so that our thinking and how we think affects our attitudes. Question is this morning, what if a lot of our thoughts are worrisome thoughts? What if the majority of our thoughts these days are negative thoughts, worrisome thoughts? What do we do with those? Well, I'm glad you're asking that question, because the topic this morning is how to have a winning attitude against worry. And this morning's passage of scripture for us is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. And so if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. You can look on the screen, or if you've got your handy telephone, a cell phone, you can look up the YouVersion Bible and you can click in Philippians 4, 6 through 9 to read these verses. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition," by the way, with thanksgiving, "present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And then whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice." A little bit like Paul this morning, that's where I'm at with you, as our days with you are coming to a conclusion soon. If there is anything you've learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice. And I know that the God of peace will continue to be with you. I can't help but wonder, as I come to a topic like this, how many of you are here this morning and you're worried? I'm just imagining that as I'm speaking this morning, this congregation is filled with some people who are burdened by some things, worried about some things. And you're not alone. You're not alone at all. In fact, what I'm going to be talking about this morning is probably the single biggest mental health issue facing our world today. It is worry. It is stress. According to Barna Research, about 60% of adults in the United States struggle with worry and stress every single day. 60%. I thought about that and imagined speaking this morning as I was preparing for this. I was imagining this week that 60% of you, over half of you, will be here this morning. And some of you are so worried about some things, so burdened by some things, that you're even finding it hard to focus on the message. Because you're worried about your kids. You're worried about your grandkids. You're thinking, you're burdened by some health concern. You're overwhelmed by the burden of some financial things, or maybe the future. You're not alone. According to the World Health Organization, interestingly enough, Americans had the biggest challenge with this thing called worry. Americans. Of all the countries in all the world, we have the biggest problem with worry than any other country. Think about that. The most affluential society on the planet is probably the most worry-filled society. And so if you're an American here this morning, congratulations. You're number one. You're number one. We won. Worry is such a common thing, a prevalent thing, a chronic thing in our culture that it almost seems, it almost has become a normal way of living for all of us. We just tend to understand that this world is filled with stresses and strains, and it's just normal. The normal for Americans is to feel worried. And yet this morning, our scripture is going to be inviting us not to worry. Do not worry about anything, the scripture says this morning. Do not worry. Do not be anxious about anything. Another version puts it, don't worry about anything. And if that isn't authoritative enough for your life, let me just call in Jesus here, because Jesus has something to say about worry as well. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. And you'll find there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus saying, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. This isn't Brian telling you this. This is Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, I tell you, Jesus says, do not worry. And with Jesus on the throne, we shouldn't be worrying, but we do. And so Jesus tells us multiple times in this passage of Matthew 6 not to worry. And he speaks about five big areas where we tend to worry. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry. I was taught in seminary, when you see the word therefore, when you see the therefore in the scripture, you need to ask, what is it therefore? All right, so the next time you see the word therefore, you're going to ask the question, what is it therefore? It is there to connect what precedes it with what follows. What immediately precedes Jesus' words about therefore I tell you, do not worry? Well, verse 24, here's what it says. It says, you cannot serve both God and money. He's speaking about money. Therefore, I tell you, Jesus, do not worry. He's speaking about finances. And one of the areas that a lot of us worry is in the area of finances. Isn't that true? How many? Finances. Especially these days. You go to the grocery store. And where you might have gotten out of the grocery store a couple of years ago at $40 or $50, it is now... $60, $65, $70. People stress about finances. Jesus goes on to say, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. The other area, we worry about food. Now, in America, we don't worry about it the same way people worry about it in Cuba. I've been to Cuba 17 times. My wife and I hope to be in Cuba again in January or February. And the people there, they worry and they pray for food. They don't have enough. We worry. This is the first country kind of worry for us. We worry about where we're going to eat, whether we'll go to McDonald's or whether we'll go to, what's down the road here? JR's? Okay. You know. Okay. We worry about where we're going to eat, but it can be a point of worry for people. Or about your body, Jesus says, don't worry about your body. For me, that's fitness. It has to do with fitness and health. Don't worry about your body. The body's more than just you physically. Jesus says, don't worry about what you'll wear. You know, some of us get so stressed out about what we're going to wear. Does this look better than this? What do you think about these shoes or these shoes? And people are so stressed about those things. My wife and I were relatively stressed about 4 or 5 weeks ago. We went to a wedding of our niece. We went to Colorado, the state of Colorado, and It was a wedding like no other wedding I've been a part of. And it was black tie, tuxedo. I mean, my wife, we didn't have clothes like this. We had to go out and get some clothes because this was a family wedding and this is what people are going to be wearing. And was that a stressful time for us? That was a very stressful time, wasn't it? Are we glad that wedding's over? It was a wonderful wedding, beautiful wedding, but it was stressful. What you wear. And then Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. In other words, don't obsess about the future. And those are the five areas, Jesus, we worry the most about. And every one of those five areas, Jesus says, do not worry. He says it five times. Do not worry. Do not worry about your finances. Do not worry about what you're going to eat. Do not worry about your body, your fitness. Don't worry about fashion, what you're going to be wearing. Don't worry about the future. And yet, we worry, don't we? Which one of these do you tend to worry about? What do you worry about these days? I've provided for you this morning in your program, in your bulletin, a little sticky note. And if you just take your program right now, here's what I'm going to invite you to do. And especially if you're having some difficulty focusing because you're worried, I'm going to suggest that you write down on the sticky note, write down, there's a pen in front of you in the pew rack, just write down your worry, write it down. And by the way, if you need a sticky note in case you lost yours, we have extra sticky notes. And if you have a lot of worries, we've got a lot of sticky notes. You just let us know and we'll make sure you get those. You're going to write them down, what you worry about. And as you're doing that, I want you to think about with me, what is worry? What is worry? Here's my definition of worry. Worry is rehearsing fear-producing, peace-diminishing thoughts over and over again until our peace of mind is seriously eroded. It's rehearsing again and again in our minds, fear-producing, peace-diminishing thoughts. Again and again until eventually our peace of mind is diminished. And at the core of it all is our nature, our human nature, our sinful human nature. Our default as human beings, we tend to default toward fear. We lean into fear versus faith. And if you don't think so, let me give you some proof. If you're awake at night at 2 a.m. in the morning, I guarantee that you are not awake at 2 a.m. in the morning counting your blessings. You are not thinking about all the blessings in your life. If you are awake at 2 a.m. in the morning, you are probably thinking about, you are worried about your kids. You are worried about your grandkids. You are worried about some physical ailment or diagnosis. You're worried about your marriage. You're worried about your workplace. You're worried about your finances. You're worried. Our tendency is to default toward fear versus faith. It is our sinful nature. And again, at the heart of it is our nature, but it has to do with the fact that we really don't trust God. When we worry, we are essentially saying, God, I don't trust you. I don't trust that you are good and that you are gracious and that you are capable. Now, I'm not judging you because I struggle with worry just like you do. But I'm vulnerable, and you're vulnerable to this tendency to worry, to allow fear-producing thoughts to be rehearsed again and again in your mind. And whatever you worry about the most reveals where you trust God the least. Let me say that again. Whatever you worry about the most, whatever you worry about the most, reveals where you trust God the least. And so I want to give you an opportunity to think about what that might be. What do you worry about? What do you worry about? Again, I'm inviting you to think this morning and to write on that sticky note what you are worrying about. What is your worry? What has you burdened? Write it down. Write it down. And if you're joining us online, just type it in the comment section so that we can be praying for you this week. But you're going to write it down, because this morning we want to give some very practical thoughts on how to deal with worry. How is it possible to live in this world filled with stresses and strains and not worry? How do we not worry? Well, if worrying has to do with our thought life and negative worrisome thoughts, then we might want to consider what we think about, and especially what we think about God. What do we think about God? Jesus facilitates this kind of thinking in Matthew chapter 6 by asking some facilitating kinds of questions. He was asking questions to disciples then, and he's asking these same questions to us. For example, he says, I want you to imagine, look at the birds of the air, or imagine birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And here's the question. Now, you can see the birds, right? You can imagine birds, right? Here's the question. Are you not much more valuable than they? If God, Jesus is saying, listen. Do you understand how much God cares for you? If you don't understand, think about this. If God takes care of the birds, even the seagulls, even the crows. So that if you're sitting here this morning, say, yeah, well, God might take care of other people, but you don't know me. Okay, so you're a crow. You're a seagull. Understand, he takes care of all of the birds. And if he takes care of the birds, Jesus is saying, listen, do you have difficulty imagining that he won't take care of you? Because here's the question, are you not much more valuable than birds? Just think. Attitude, our perspective on life has so much to do with what we allow into our minds, what we think about. Think about this. You are incredibly valuable to God. God loves you. God cares for you. And then he asks another question. Can you, any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? What do you think the answer to that is? No. Another version will say, can you add any cubit to your measurement? Can you extend life or make your life more qualitatively better? No. By worrying? No. I'm not going to worry about this. Jesus is just inviting us to think. Think about the waste of worrying. Does worrying change anything other than, I think here's the one place it changes things. Your mental health will get worse. Think about it. Think about what you're worrying about. Got it? When you think about that thing, only one of three things is going to happen. All right? Think through this with me. It may not even happen. Do you know that? That what you're worrying about may not even happen. There was some research done by the Pennsylvania State University. It was found that 91% of the things people worried about did not come true. A lot of the things we worry about don't even come through. But I'll tell you this is a fact. 100% of the time, your peace of mind will be eroded by worrying. And so one of the things that can happen about the thing you're worrying about, it may not even happen. Secondly, it may happen, but it won't be nearly as bad as you thought. Often, the more we worry, the more our creative imaginations exaggerate what's going to happen to us. And so we discover, I wasn't fired. I got a reprimand, but I didn't get fired. I thought I was going to get fired. It wasn't as bad as you thought. I got rejected by the girl. I mean, I laid my heart out to her. I told her I loved her, and she rejected me. I thought I was going to die, but I didn't die. It wasn't as bad as you thought. The third thing that could happen, it may, in fact, happen, but God will carry you through. And the question simply is this: do you trust God? Do you trust God that no matter how it comes out, even if it comes out exactly as you imagined it, even if it's the worst case scenario, can you trust God? That God loves you and cares for you and that he will be there for you? Jesus is inviting us to think. And so he asks one other question. And why you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field? See how they grow and how beautiful they are? They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed as beautiful as these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Here's the question. If God takes care of things like flowers and trees and grass that is here in one season and gone the next, are you saying that God won't provide for you? He cares for you. He loves you. And are you imagining that God won't provide for you? That God's provision isn't going to be enough? That he provides for grass of the field that's here today and gone tomorrow, but he's not going to provide for you? Think. Think about this. You see, our minds are hosts of lots of thoughts. And the fact is, there isn't enough room in our minds for both worry and faith. And you have to decide who you're going to allow to take up residence in your mind. Is it going to be fearful thoughts, anxious thoughts, worrisome thoughts? Or will you choose to host positive thoughts of who God is, and how he cares for you, and how he will provide for you? Amen. Worry is allowing negative thoughts to live in rent-free in your mind. Next time you worry, understand you're giving residence. You're opening up your mind to something that's going to pay you nothing. It doesn't add anything from your life. In fact, it subtracts the peace of God from your life. And so this season, I'm inviting you to practice focusing on positive. Think positive thoughts, and you will have a positive attitude. And the more likely you will have positive results or positive outcome, such as the peace of mind, which is in fact the peace of God for your mind. And it's why the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, not what's fault, but what's true, whatever is ever noble and whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about them. And then he adds, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. A positive mental outlook on life, a positive mindset, a positive attitude can't be had so long as we are hosting negative thoughts, worrisome thoughts. And Paul says, you've learned some things from me about this. You've learned some things from me. Here, I'll repeat it again. Last week's message. I'm not inviting you to try to have a positive attitude. that you'll try once or twice and then say, I tried and I didn't, don't have a positive attitude. I'm inviting you to practice. Last week's word was, I want you to train your mind. You see, some of you have allowed negative thoughts to continue in your mind until there are neural ruts. And it's hard for you to get out of negative thinking because you have been walking in negative thinking so long. You have developed a neural rut in your brain. And it's so easy for you to fall into that rut, of negative thinking. And in order to kind of get out of that rut and be a positive person, to have a personal attitude that is positive, a mindset that is positive, is that you got to practice. As much as you have practiced this over here, rehearse negative thoughts over here, it's practicing, rehearsing negative thoughts. Now, I've confessed that I worry as much as anyone here. And so I have to practice. People will say to me, and some of you have said, you know, your language is so encouraging. You seem to be so positive. If you only knew the home I grew up in, the negative messages that were spoken to me, if you only knew the path that I've walked and the counselors I've sat down with and the people who came alongside of me to encourage me when I was so discouraged and the practice I've given to this, you would better understand that you need to practice. I practice this every single day by way of my Facebook posts. If you were on to check out my Facebook post, and I encourage you to do that. Every single day I will post because I tend to kind of want to lean into my artsy side in my retirement. I've taken up some painting, Bob Ross painting. I love landscape. And so I have always found creation as something that has inspired me toward worship. And so I'll post these beautiful pictures, landscape pictures. This season, I'm doing a lot of fall pictures, and I post every single day a fall picture. But attached to every picture I post every single day is a verse of Scripture. It's this verse I just read to you, Philippians 4:8. It's a discipline of mine. It is a practice of mine to stay positive, to look at life and all its beauty and all God's goodness and all God's grace. I practice, practice, practice. And so think about God. Think about how good He is and how gracious He is and how capable He is, and then pray. Just pray. Philippians 4:6 goes on to say, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I like the way the Contemporary English Version puts it. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. It's shorter, more easily memorized, isn't it? Let me say it again. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Can I worry about that? No, it says anything, anything. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. So repeat it with me. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Again, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. One last time. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus just puts it this way. Seek the kingdom first. Seek me first. Seek the king and the kingdom and his righteousness. And Jesus says, when you put me first, when you seek me first, all the other things, this is the rest of the verse, all the other things will be added. He'll take care of those things. But put them first. We put God first practically by going to him first. First, do you run to God first with your burden? Do you run to God first, to turn to him first with your worry? Most of us don't, I think, comprehend the power of prayer. We'll say things like, you know, all we can do now is pray. As a last resort, nothing else has really worked out, but I guess as a last resort, we'll pray. Is that how you see prayer, as a last resort? It should be our first recourse, not our last resort. It should be the first thing we do. Jesus says, seek the king and the kingdom and his righteousness first. First, let that be the priority of your life. That when you deal with worry, the first thing you do is you turn to your good, gracious, and capable God. And the scripture says, you just cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. It's a wonderful verse of scripture, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. In my very first congregation, I had, and this just came to me, I had a member. She was an older member, one of the oldest members of my first congregation back in 1977. Yes, it's a long time ago, okay? I was straight out of seminary. The church actually almost closed its doors before I went there, but they were desperate to try one last person, so they said, okay, we'll try him. So my wife and I went there, but this Ada Griffith, this was her favorite verse. It's the verse I used at her memorial service. I'm so thankful for people in my life. You think of God's goodness over the years. God's been so faithful to give me people who've spoken in my life. She spoke this verse and it has stayed with me. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Listen, God cares for you. He loves you more than you can comprehend. So trust me, if it's on your mind, it's already on God's heart. So just cast your cares, cast your worries, cast your anxieties on him. When you worry about what you worry about the most reveals where you might trust God the least, but it's an invitation for you and me to put him first, to seek him first, and to cast all of our cares on him. And yes, I struggle just like you, but I'm practicing. I'm practicing to do the very first thing is just to turn to him and say, God, I got to give this to you. And this is, I'll just illustrate. It's kind of like we have our worries. And the deal is we have all these worries. You have them, I have them. We have them at different times in our life, different chapters in our life bring different kinds of worries. But we all have worries, right? The good news is this, that we have a God who's there. And the invitation to you and me is that we take all of our worries and we cast them on God. We put them over in this box. Now, that's what Scripture calls us to do, to take all of our worries, to cast all of our worries and put them over here. Give them to God. Pray. Say, God, take these from me. Take this worry from me. But here's generally, this is the pattern for a lot of us. We kind of take our worries, we give them to God, and we pray, God, take them, and we start to kind of freak out. I mean, it's been 5 minutes. I mean, it's been 5 minutes. And what we do is we take the worries back. We take the worries back. And what we're doing, essentially, when we take the worries back, we're saying, God, I don't trust you with my worries. I don't trust you with my worries. I think I can handle them better than you. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just want to give us a picture of what's really going on. When you take worries back, you're saying, God, I can handle my worries better than you can. And we all have done that, right? All of us. All of us have given our worries to God on occasion and said, there, God, you got them. But a little bit of time passes and God doesn't act in the same time frame that we expect him to act, and all of a sudden we take them back. And we take them back, and we also take back a loss of peace of mind. We lose our peace of mind. You know what we really need, all of us? What we really need is a bigger God and smaller worries. The problem with a lot of us is that our God is too small. And that's why I challenge you on the front side of this. You got to think about who you're praying to. Do you understand how much he loves, how much he cares? He cares for his whole creation. Are you imagining that he cares for his whole creation and he doesn't care for you? You were the pinnacle of his creative work. Humankind, male and female. Do you imagine that he can't provide for you? I think if we're there, it's because our God is too small. And so, and I could invite you to do this at home. You might go home today and make up your own God box. Now, it may not be as pretty as mine. I actually did this myself. I feel pretty good about it. Chose orange. It's the season, right? But you could go home, and here's what I'm going to suggest. Because I told you in the series that I'm not going to just teach on attitude. I'm training you toward a positive attitude. Here's a training exercise. You go home, and you can get a shoebox. You don't have to put paper on it, but you might write God on it. And when a worry comes to you, you'll write on it a worry and you'll put it in the box. Okay? Put it in the box. You're going to give it to God and you'll be symbolizing, God, I'm turning to you first. I'm going to give my worries to you. I want you to do that because when 5 minutes pass and you are tempted to go back and take this out, I want you to see what you are really doing. You are really, when you take this out of God's hands, you are saying, I think my hands are more capable. I think I care more and I'm looking out more for myself than God could ever look out for me. I've got this. It's got to be one or the other. Either you've got it or he's got it. But it's an exercise that is going to visualize for you what you're actually doing. You're not trusting God for it. And that's the truth. That is the hard truth, but the kind of truth that could set you free from worry. That you have this great God, and that what he invites you to do is to take all that concerns you, all of that has your heart burdened, the things that you care deeply about, you just take those and you put them in here. In fact, I think what God really wants out of us, it's not just this kind of relationship, but what God really wants is he really wants us to put our whole lives in him. You see, he really wants to help us with all of our lives. And so that if you're here this morning and you are not a believer, understand that he wants to help you with your worries, but he wants to help you with all of your life. He wants to help you with every area of your life where you struggle. He wants to help you with your sin. You see, God, the Father, sent his Son, the one and only Son, the unique Son of God, Jesus, to earth. And Jesus walked the face of this earth, loving people, showing us how to love. And he demonstrated his love most beautifully when he went to the cross. And the scripture says, on that cross, he bore all of our sin, all of our failure. And on the cross, God judged our sin. He judged our failure. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. And Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. He paid the price. The debt is canceled. And Jesus offers us forgiveness and invites us simply to receive his forgiveness, to receive him as our forgiver, our leader of life. Just invite him into our life by faith. And so if you're not a believer here this morning, you've never committed your life to Jesus, you've never opened your life to Jesus, Jesus wants to invite you to trust him, not just with your worries, but your whole life. And this morning, you could make that important decision. You could pray and ask Jesus into your life. And this morning, you could become a brand new creation. Your life could be hidden in his. And when we do that, the promise of his scripture, of his word, is this, that the peace of God, this is Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will move into our hearts, into our minds, and will guard our hearts and your minds. There it is, your minds in Christ Jesus. He will give you a peace that surpasses all human understanding. It's beyond human understanding, because the world will look at the peace that you have and say, how is it that you have peace when you're going through what you're going through? It's the peace of God that allows us to face the challenges of life. It is a peace, Jesus said, that the world can't give, because the world can't give it. The world can't take it away. It is God's peace. It is peace of heart, peace of mind, and it will guard our lives. We experience the peace of God because we are truly at peace with God. We've given our entire lives to him. And so this morning, if you haven't ever given your life to Jesus, this morning I'm inviting you, I'm pleading with you. Give your heart to Jesus. Let him take all your worries, all your concerns, everything. Give him your whole life. Let your life be hid in his. Let him fill your life with his love and his grace and his peace. And if you're a Christ follower, but you struggle with this worry, cast all your cares, not just some of them. You see, if it's on your mind, it's already in his heart. His hands are waiting. Cast all your cares on him. He cares deeply for you. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word this morning that is so true, that is so clearly inspired by your Holy Spirit, and so practical for our lives. Thank you for the good and gracious God you are. Thank you for your faithfulness today, but your faithfulness from beginning to end. Thank you for your presence here today. And I pray that you would continue to speak into the hearts of people here today, that whatever they're carrying, the heavy weight of worry, concern, or if they're carrying sin, that they would cast all of that on you, knowing that you care for them. I ask these things, and we ask these things for ourselves and for one another, all in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen.